There's so much depth to the Seder night, both in halacha and in machshava. But today I'd like to talk about some of the halachas of the Seder, and then hopefully, Mitzvah Shem on Sunday, we'll get to a few of the themes, the machshava themes and thoughts of the Haggadah and the Pesach in general. The Seder begins with Kadesh. And the first comment of the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tafayin Bey Sif Aleph about Kadesh is Lo Yomar Kiddush Ad Shetechshach. But on the Seder night, one shouldn't recite Kiddush until Tzeisak Kochav. This is very different than what we're used to when it comes to a typical Shabbos or a Yom Tov. We know many have the minig to make Kiddush on Shabbos and Yom Tov during a time of Tosefes, during the extension of Shabbos and Yom Tov. The Shulchan Aruch is saying that when it comes to the night of the Seder, one is not supposed to do that. You're only supposed to make Kiddush after Tzeisak Kochav. What's the reason? So there are different reasons given in the poskim. The Taz there, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, explains that the reason is because the eating of the matzah has to be done by Laila. That the eating of the matzah on the Leil HaSeder has to be done dafke after Tzeisak Kochavim. Because as Tosfos in Psachim points out, the Pasuk says, Va'ochle sabosa ba'layla hazeh, that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten dafka at night. Pasuk in Parashas Bo, Beferish in the Pasuk. And then the Pasuk also says, Al matzah umrorim yochluhu, that the Korban Pesach has to be eaten with matzah umar. So from that we learn that the Pesach is iskish la matzah umar, it's connected to matzah umar. So the matzah also, just like the Pesach has to be eaten by Laila, the matzah also has to be eaten by Laila. Says the Taz, we know that there's an age-old principle of en kiddush ela b'makom suda, that one has to have a suda in conjunction with the kiddush. You can't just make a kiddush and that's it. You have to have a suda, you have to have either pas or a mezonos, whatever, but there has to be a suda in conjunction with the kiddush. So he says that that similar to en kiddush ela b'makom suda, en kiddush ela b'zman haroy l'suda. This is an extension of the Taz. It's not in the Gemara in Psach. We know that en kiddush ela b'makom suda, but says the Taz, just like in Kiddush Ela B'makom Suda, that you need a Suda there, in Kiddush Ela B'zman Haroi the Suda. So you can't make Kiddush at a time that you're not able to eat the Suda. Even if you're going to eat the Suda later, right? You'll make Kiddush, let's say, before Tzeisak Kochavim, and then you'll eat the Matzah after Tzeisak Kochavim. Comes the Taz and says, a new Kiddush, that's not going to work. Even though there would be Kiddush B'makom Suda, but it's not Kiddush B'zman Haroi the Suda, because the time before Tzeisak Kochavim is not Roi for Matzah. That's the Taz's understanding. But this halacha in Shulchan Aruch is a kiddush tekedim. The kiddush on the Seder night is different than kiddush on Shabbos and Yom Tov. The rule is that an kiddush ala bezman haroy lesuda, and the suda, bezman haroy lesuda, is only after Tzeisak Kochavim, because matz is linked to Pesach, and by Pesach it says v'achlo sabasa balay lazeh. So therefore, the kiddush can only be recited after Tzeisak Kochavim. Comes the Magen Avraham, and he suggests a different reason. He quotes from the Chumash Hadeshen that the reason why the Kiddush has to be recited on the Seder night after Tzeisak Kochavim is not a din in Kiddush, it's a din in Dalet Kosos. The Kiddush is the first of the Dalet Kosos, as we well know. And the Dalet Kosos have to be drunk by Laila. Why do they have to be by Laila? Well, because V'achlo Sabasa by Laila Hazeh. The Korban Pesach has to be by Laila. And the Matzah and the Morah are Iskeshul Korban Pesach. And even though Dalet Kosos is not Daraisa, that's only a Takana Derabanan, the Chazal linked Midrabanan. They linked all of the Mitzvahs Derabanan of the Seder to the Mitzvahs Daraisa. So if the Mitzvahs Daraisa have to be done by Laila, then the Mitzvah Derabanan of Dalet Kosos has to be done by Laila as well. So that's the Shaila. The question is, the fact that Kiddush has to be recited on the Seder night only after Tzeisak Kochavim, is that a din in Kiddush, or is it a din in Dalet Kosos? What's a nafkamina? So there are a few, but the basic nafkamina is, let's say a person, taka, made Kiddush early. I've been asked over the years by Talmidim, who, you know, the Seder is very late, and they're by their parents, they're by their grandparents, and they want to make a Seder earlier, so is there any heter to make Kiddush before Tzeisak Kochavim? At first glance, it's mamish against the Shulchan Aruch. It's not so simple. Not so simple. What happens if a person b'di'eved taka made Kiddush before Tzeisak Kochavim? So, according to the Taz, he hasn't been yotzei Kiddush at all. Right? It's not a zman haroi the Kiddush. You can't be yotzei Kiddush. According to the Magen Avraham, you've been yotzei Kiddush. You haven't been yotzei Dalet Kosos. Right? The first cup of the Dalet Kosos, you haven't been yotzei. But let's say you can drink another one of the Kosos. Right? We're going to see later that really Chazal was talking that the Dalet Kosos should be drunk on parts of the Seder, right? You have Kadesh, and you have a Kosan Magid, and a Kosan Bichas HaMazon, etc. But here, it's not like It's not like the kos has to be drunk on some other dibur that you're saying. There's nothing that we say until we get the magid. So if a person makes kiddush early, let's say someone in the home is going to make kiddush early, right? And then you'll drink another kos. You'll drink it. You'll wait a little bit. You'll drink another kos. You know, before you get to the second kos, you'll drink another kos on the first part of magid. Then you drink the second kos on the second part of magid. There's room to say that you'll be yotzei dalet kosos then. Maybe there's room to say that you'll be yotzei dalet kosos then. But according to the Taz, you can't be yotzei kiddush. So, there is a little bit of an afkamina. According to the Magen Avraham, as long as you drink another kos, and it's not that you're drinking, you know, the dalet kosos with tzufin, but you'll drink an extra kos before you say the magid, so you'll be yotzei dalet kosos. And kiddush, there's never a din in ein kiddush el bezman haroi l'suda. According to the Magen Avraham, there might be a way to be yotzei. According to the Taz, you'll still have a problem. But these are the two approaches that are given by the Shulchan Aruch, why kiddush has to be done after Tzeset El Chadar. How much does a person have to drink from the kos of kiddush, or from dalet kosos for that matter? So the kos has to hold what's called a revius. That means revius halog, a quarter of a log. What is a revius? Not so simple. That's a big discussion in the Achronim. The problem is the Bir Halacha points out, that the Gemara seems to explain how we evaluate the size of a revius in different ways. In different places, the Gemara uses a different method to evaluate the size of a revius. And the resulting amount, right, the resulting amount and volume is not the same. So there are two approaches. And if you take one method of the Gemara, so it'll come out, Rav Moshe estimated, Rav David Feinstein in his Kol Dodi Haggadah, he collects these different shittas. Rav Moshe estimated that according to the smaller shear, it'll be about 3.3 fluid ounces. According to the larger shear, it'll be 4.5 fluid ounces. So which one is it? So the poskim say that it's appropriate for mitzvahs d'oraisa to be machmir for the larger shear, to assume that a revius is 4.5 fluid ounces. But for shiurim that are, for mitzvahs that are only d'rabbanan, one can be makel for the smaller shear. So like for dalet kosos is only d'rabbanan, so you could be makel that if the kos holds 3.3 fluid ounces, then that's enough, that's okay. But for mitzvahs d'oraisa, like for kiddush on Friday night, that's a mitzvah d'oraisa. Or maybe even kiddush on Yom Tov night, according to the Rambam, that might be d'oraisa as well. So maybe it's more appropriate to be machmir, that the kos should hold the larger shear revius, which would be 4.5 fluid ounces. Now that's what the kos has to hold, but how much do you have to drink from the kos? Let's say the kos holds more than a revius. Let's say you have a kos that holds 6 fluid ounces. So how much of the kos do you have to drink? So we know in general that a person has to drink rov of a revius. You have to drink him a low lugma of a cheekful, which is a rov revius. That's a sheer choshev for the halacha of hamavar tzarech shayita. A person has to taste the sheer choshev from the kos. If the kos holds a revius, the Chachamim estimated that a shir choshev is a rov revius, kimelo lugmav. The question is, on the Seder night, is it the same? So that's a machlokas harishonim. Some rishonim assume it's mamish the same shir. Right? You drink kimelo lugmav from the kos on the Seder night as well. The kos has to hold a revius, and you drink kimelo lugmav from the kos. That means that even if the kos holds 8 fluid ounces, if you drink kimelo lugmav, which even according to the most chamashita would be what? It would be about 2.3 fluid ounces or so. That's sufficient. That's sufficient to be yotze the din. Others disagree. The Rambam, Menuchas Chametz Matzah, the Ramban, others claim that on the Seder night there's an obligation to drink rov kos. Not a rov revius, but rather rov kos, which means it's a function of what the kos holds. If it holds a revius, which is really all it has to hold, if it holds 4.5 fluid ounces, so then you drink a rov revius, you drink a rov kos, is a rov revius, so then drinking 2.3 or so fluid ounces would be sufficient. But let's say the cup holds more than that. Let's say it holds 6 ounces, or it holds 8 ounces. So according to the Rambam, you'd have to drink a rov kos on the Seder night. It's not enough to drink kimlo luvma, not enough to drink a rov revius, but you have to drink a rov kos. So if it holds 6 ounces, you'd have to drink 3.1 fluid ounces. That's a little bit more. If it held 8 ounces, you'd have to drink even more than that. What's the machlokas? So the Briska Rav, in the famous piece in the Sefer on the Rambam, he wants to suggest that these Rishonim are disagreeing about the nature of Dalet Kosos. Do we assume that Dalet Kosos is just a Kosos Shel Bracha? Chazal were misaking 4 Kosos Shel Bracha in different parts of the Seder. If that's the case, so then Kimelo Lugmav should be sufficient, just like it's enough for any other Kosos Shel Bracha. kos of kiddush during the year, a kos of brichas hamazon, a kos of sheva brachas. So if drinking a rov revias by any other kosher bracha is sufficient, so drinking a rov revias, drinking kim lo lov muvan aseid night should also be sufficient. Dr. Brisker Rav, the Rambam and the Ramban, they assume that there's a new mitzvah here. The dalakosis is not just the din of kosher bracha, but rather it's a chovas shtia. There's an obligation, chazal or misakin, that one should drink dalet kosos derech cheirus. Right? The idea of dalet kosos is to show cheirus, to drink dalet kosos derech cheirus. So the nature of the takana was to drink dalet kosos. If that's the takana, to drink dalet kosos, and now you're going to drink only rov of the dalet kosos, right? So rubo kakulo, you're going to drink rov to assume that it's like drinking dalet kosos because rubo kakulo. But you should have to drink a rov kos. The shir kim lo lugma, the shir of rov revias on the Seder night, if you assume that dalet kosos is a mitzvah to drink dalet kosos, right? If that's the mitzvah, so then the shir of a rov revias doesn't really fit in. Well, what's the rov revias? You should have to drink either kol akos or drink rov akos midin rubo kakula. So to be machmir, the Shulchan Aruch actually paskins like the Ramban. The Shulchan Aruch says, quotes that shita, that one should drink a rov kos. So the best thing is to try to get the smallest cup possible. Try to get a kos that only holds about 5 ounces. I don't know if they're going to make a kos that holds 4.5, you know. So get a kos that holds 5 ounces, and then you'll only have to drink rove of that kos, even to be yotze the Rambam and the Ramban. That's the best idea. Right? Don't get a larger kos. For the Seder, people often get, you can get a becher. You don't even have to use a glass cup or whatever, some other, you know, cheaper looking cup, and get a becher. Get a smaller becher. Just make sure that it has the right amount. Measure it out and make sure it has the smallest amount that you need, right? But it has enough even for the mitzvah daraisa of 4.5 fluid ounces, and then you could be yotzei according to everyone. Especially someone who finds it difficult to drink wine, you certainly should have a smaller kos. If you have a smaller kos, so then you'll obviate the whole problem. We mentioned that the Gemara Psochim and the Avkuf Yud Zayin says that Dalid Kosi Tokina Rabbana Derecheres Kol Chad V'Chad Navid Bein Mitzvah. Chazal Masakin Dalid Kosos Derecheres, but they linked it to parts of the Seder, different parts of the Seder, right? To the Kiddush, to the Magid, to the Birchas HaMazon, to the Challah. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that if someone drinks the Kosos Shalo Al HaSeder, he's not Yotze. What does that mean, Shalo Al HaSeder? So of course it means if you drink them Ritzufim, you just drink four kosos one after the other, you're not going to be yotze. But the Mishnah Berurah points out, the Mishnah Berurah Bir Halacha, he quotes shitas that say that really what it means is if you drink them not on the seder of the Haggadah, not on the seder, not on the seder of what the Chachamim were misaking, right? The different parts of the Haggadah that you're supposed to drink the kosos on. So if you stam, you drink two kosos on the Magid, you don't drink a kos on the Birchas HaMazon. Don't drink a kos on the challah, then you're not going to be yotze either, because Chazal will misakin dafka to drink the kosos on the different parts of the Seder. So the Mishnah Berurah and the Bir Halacha points out that you have to be very careful. Very often, people will miss parts of the Magid. You know, they'll be there for the Manishtana, and then they'll miss parts of Magid, especially women. They're helping out a lot with the children or with other things going on at the Seder, and sometimes they won't say all of Magid. So that's not so simple, right? They should say at least a little bit, Rabbi Gamliel. They should say the ikar of the Magid, because if not, then they're not going to be able to say the second kos, because the second kos has to be recited on Magid. So if they just listen to the Manishtana and they don't really say any of the Magid, then they're going to come back to spill a little bit of wine on the Esemakis, and then they run out to help with the kids, and then they come back just at the end. That's not going to be enough. So they should be careful to be there for at least the basics of the Magid. We'll talk about what the basics of the Magid are, but at least for Pesach Matzah and more. Rav Gamliel Haya Omer. The Rav added another idea from his father. Moshe Soloveitchik was of the opinion that you have to recite the whole Magid on the second kos. So he felt that if the kos spills in the middle, this happens every year, at least at someone's Seder, right? They pour the kosos, and then you know what happens. In the middle of the Seder, someone gets a little rowdy. You know, a kid gets excited about something. I don't know, the veritel that his Rebbe said about Dayenu, he's all excited, he jumps up and he knocks over someone's becher, right? It happens. Moshe Soloveitchik felt that if the becher is knocked over, you have to start the Magid again. Not everyone, but the person whose becher spilled. Because he said, you're not reciting the Magid over that kos. he felt that this takana de rabbanan is so important, right? It literally was said that you have to recite the Maggid over the coast, that if your coast spills, you have to say the Maggid again. It's a chiddush, because you could say that if you pour another coast, so that's a hemshech of the previous coast. Right? You haven't drunk you didn't drink your first coast, but the second coast, that's a memale makom, that's taking the place of the first version of the second coast. Right, your first coast that spilled, it's a hamshich of the first coast. So when I'm continuing the magid, I'm reciting magid over a coast, because I can't drink the coast that spilled, but the second version of the second coast, right, is like a hamshich of the first coast, so it's not a problem. I don't have to start the magid again. But I'll tell you where this is an afkamina that everyone would probably agree to, and that is that very often people forget to pour the coast. Right, they drink the Kaddish, and then they do Urchas, they do Karpas, and they say the Manashtana, and Benka Chubenka, people are running around doing different things. They forget to pour the Kos, and what happens? They get to the Hisha Amda, and they realize, hey, just one second, I forgot to pour the Kos. That could be a problem, right? Then you probably should start from the beginning again. Pour the Kos. If you ever had a second Kos, you probably should pour the second Kos again. I'm not saying that you should get all the kids to say the Manashtana again. It might take a little bit of time. But at least you should say the Manashtana. You say Manashtana, Vadamayinu. It's not so much. You can say a couple of paragraphs there. But maybe there's an inyan to try to say all of the Haggadah, all of the Maggid, I should say, on the second coast. Okay. What do the Dalit Kosos have to be composed of? What are they made of? So obviously, if you have Yayin, if you have wine, and you can tolerate the wine, and it's best to do Dalit Kosos over Yayin. Some say even that it's better to do it over Yayin Odom. There's a chashivas to red wine. Chashivas to red wine over white wine. How about grape juice? Can you be yotze Dalit Kosos over grape juice? So Reb Tzvi Pesach Frag in the Sefer Mekorei Kodesh quotes different sources that imply that you dafka have to have Yayin for Dalit Kosos. Quote, some say that the yayin for that the whatever you use for Dalit Kosos has to be yayin hanesameach, the same type of yayin that you could be yotze the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov with. Simchas Yom Tov, we assume you can only be yotze with yayin. Similarly, some say you need dafka yayin. It has to be an intoxicating beverage. It has to be alcohol in the beverage because it's not derech eres without alcohol. Like grape juice, that's derech eres. You need yayin to be derech eres. So these are some of the sources. Some of the sources that assume that you need yayin. Rav Moshe added that it's derived from the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi writes that there were some Amoroim that would drink yayin on the Seder night, even though they had headaches until Shavuos. They didn't feel right in the head. The yayin disagreed with them. They weren't besakona. The yayin disagreed with them. But afal tikein, they pushed themselves to drink yayin on the Seder night. So he says it's clear that you have to use yayin for Dalit Kosos, because if not, what are they pushing themselves that they're going to feel bad until Shavuos? Why should they be pushing themselves? So he paskins that if a person is in a comely day sakana from drinking wine, if someone's allergic to wine, so obviously you can't use wine for the Dalit Kosos. Can't be machin for that. If it's not a sakana, even if you're not going to feel so good afterwards, then a person should push himself. That's how Rav Moshe paskin. Rabbi Soloveitchik disagreed. The Rav quoted from a Rambam. Rambam Nilchas Chametz Matzah says that the Dalit Kosos are supposed to be a shtia areva, supposed to be a pleasant drinking. That's what derech eres means. So the Rav said, if a person enjoys grape juice more than wine, then the shtia areva for that person is grape juice. So l'chatchili should use grape juice. He should not use wine for the Dalit Kosos. It's quite a different approach. He explained the Yerushalmi differently. Yeah, there are ways of getting out of the Yerushalmi. So this is a major machlokas, right? If lechatchila one really should use wine for the Dalit Kosos, so maybe even lechatchila you could use grape juice. Now, for someone that wine, they're not allergic to the wine, but they don't like the wine as much, they prefer not to use the wine, so there are ways of making it easier. You could mix wine together with the grape juice. You know, our wines have already been mixed with sugar. So they're not so pure. So you can't really mix it as completely as the Gemara would say. We paskin that the wine is batel echad b'shisha, not echad b'shishim, right? But echad b'shisha, 1 in 6. So you can still add, you know, 5 or 4 parts of water to the wine, and it's not going to be batel. But our wine, since they've already added sugar, then you can't add the 5 parts of water. You have to add less than that. But mistama, at least, if you know, if a third of your cup is grape juice and 2/3 of the cup is wine, the wine is not going to be bottled. Right? So if you get one of these light wines that it's only 3% alcohol, there are these light wines. You can even mix it with the grape juice also. You're not really going to taste the wine so much. If you're allergic to wine, don't do this. I mean, obviously, then you got to use grape juice. But if you just don't enjoy the wine, you know, it's too much wine for you, and you get an upset stomach from it. So there are ways of diluting the wine and still having wine, having a din wine in the Dalei Kosos, so you could be yotze the din of Dalei Kosos l'chatchila. And if you really water it down with the grape juice, it probably won't disagree with you. You'll feel fine afterwards. There's another halacha related to Dalei Kosos, and that is heseba, that you have to lean. Right? The Gemara in Psachim Adav Kofches says that we have to do heseba by Dalei Kosos and by eating the kezias of matzah. For those who were here in the Sugyas in Psachim a couple of years ago, right, we discussed at great length. Actually, from the Gemara, it seems like you only have to do heseba for two of the Dalei Kosos. The question is, which ones? First two, the second two? Not for now. We paskin that we have to be machmer for all four. Question is why? It's a sfeika de rabbanan. Not for now. But there's a lot of lumdus in the seder, but we can't chazer everything in one short hour. So we paskin that you have to do a seber for Dalei Kosos and for the kezayis of matzah. The Rav Yoh has a famous shita. Rav Yoh says bizman hazeh, we don't do a seber because it's not the normal way. There's no chiyuv to do a seber. L'machmer against the Rav Yoh, we do a seba anyway. Right? We do a seba anyway. That's the minig. It's the minig to do a seba from the past. Maybe it's a zecher l'cheres, even if nowadays it's not a derech a seba, not a derech cheres, we still do it. But the shita of the Rav Yoh plays a very important role in terms of bidi evet. Rishonim have a debate. What's the din if a person eats the matzah, drinks Dalei Kosos, and didn't do a seba? Machlokas in the Rishonim. So the Ramah writes, he quotes the Yeshomrim that says that bizman hazeh, one can be mekel for the Rav Yoh, that if you drank the Dalei Kosos or ate the matzah without a seba, that you don't have to repeat. What does he mean? So what he means is it's like a svek sveka. There are some Rishonim that hold that b'di'eved, you don't have to do... B'di'eved, you don't need the heseba by Dalei Kosos and matzah. And even if we'll be machmer against those shitas, according to the Rav Yoh, you don't do heseba at all, bizman hazeh. That whole machlokas that he's shown was only at the time of the Gemara that the heseba was really a chiyuv. So you could put two and two together. You could put the shita of the Rambam, who holds that that b'di'eved, if you don't do heseba, you're still yotzei, together with the shita of the Rav Yoh, that there's no chiyuv of heseba at all. So b'di'eved, if you didn't do heseba for the Dalei Kosos or for matzah, you don't have to repeat. That's the Yesh Omer that the Ramah quotes. That the Ramah says, nearly, I think that you should repeat, that you should eat the matzah again. If you ate matzah without, you ate the kezayis the matzah without a seba, people can do this. They forget. You're so busy with the motzi matzah, the korach, whatever, but before you know it, you're finished with your kezayis and you never lean back. People could forget to do a seba. So the Ramah says, you really should eat another kezayis. Oh no. Right? Eat another kezayis of matzah. People feel like, there's a limit how much matzah I can eat. Matzah's mitzvah. There's no limit. Matzah's mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. If you eat without a seba, the Ramah says you should do it again. That's what the Ramah says. You should do it again. How about Dalei Kosos? So there, the Ramah is not so sure. The Ramah says that if you drank the third or the fourth kos without a seba, you shouldn't drink it again. Because then nira kemosif ala kosos. It looks like you're adding on to the Dalei Kosos. There's this notion in the Rishonim that we don't do things that make it seem like we're adding on to the Dalei Kosos. Then the Mishnah Berurah chips away even more. He quotes from the Magen Avraham that since our minig is not really to drink between the first and the second kosos either, so then if you have a second, if you forget to do a seba for the first kos, then you'll have to make another bracha because you weren't expecting to drink. If you have to make another bracha on the second time that you're drinking the first kos, then that's also nira kemosif ala kosos. So basically what comes out of the Ramah is that if you forget to do a seba for the Dalei Kosos, only for the second kos would you repeat the drinking of the kos. Only for the second kos. Because you can drink all the wine that you want during the Suda. I mean, after all the, you know, since we're going to drink Dalei Kosos, I'm not sure how many people would want to drink more wine during the Suda, but I guess it depends how much wine you know, there are wine drinkers. I've seen a few wine drinkers. That's for a different context. I'm not pointing to you particularly, but right? I've seen wine drinkers in this year. So, you know, if you enjoy wine, so you can drink all the wine you want during the Suda. So, if you want to drink a second kose, that's fine. So, the Rambam would say that if you drank the second kose without a seva, then you really should drink the second kose again. And if you ate the matzah, the kazayas of matzah without a seva, then you should do it again to be machmer for those shittas in the Rishonim that hold that haseva is kind of ma'akev in the mitzvah. One final comment about a seva. How do we do a seva? So, we do a seva on the left side, not on the right side. Someone told me they heard someone ask the Shaila about this. They did a seba on the right side. They didn't know what to do with it. A seba should be done on the left side. There are different reasons given for that. Right? One of the reasons given is that it's a sakana to do a seba on the right side. Because the windpipe is on the right side. So if you lean on your right side, then it's going to go down the windpipe. You'll choke. So you should do a seba dafka on the left side. Nafkamina for a lefty. A lefty, even if he normally eats with his left hand, he should do a seba on his left side, because even if he uses his left hand normally, right, he types on the computer with both hands, but he writes with his left hand, or maybe he pokes it. He writes with his left hand, he bats left, throws left, right, writes left, right? So he's a lefty, he eats left also, right? So it's a little uncomfortable to eat with your right hand. But no, but his windpipe is going to be on the right side, right? It's not flipped. Right? It's not flipped. So if he's going to eat on his right side, he'll come to the same sakana as a righty would. So the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah says, in Siman Tafayin Beis Siv Gimel, that even a lefty should do a seba on his left side like everyone else, like the righties. Because sakana is the key. Even though it's not darko b'kach to eat that way, right, he'll have to eat with his right hand. So, okay, he'll eat with his right hand on the Seder night. Because the sakana of leaning on the right side trumps the derech achila of eating with his left hand. Okay, so there was a hand up. Yeah.
Yeah, so if you forget the first or second kose, just wait to have that, do the repeat kose until the pseudo, so it has something like marma in the koses.
No, but you're not going to be able to repeat the first kose anymore, because then it's not clear that the first kose and the second kose are coming together. So you can't. That's not al haseder. That's drinking kosos ritzufin. You're saying if you drank one kose and you waited 15 minutes to drink a second kose, I'm not sure that that would work. I'm not sure that that would work. Just waiting the time. It's not like a different part of the seder. Meaning, if you drink the first kos and then you say the magid, and clearly the second kos is on the magid, so then one could say that the first kos is on a different part of the seder. But if it's part of the Shulchan Aruch, if it's part of the Suda, you're drinking both koses as part of the Suda, so I'm not sure that that's enough of a difference to be yotze the first kos. I think just drop the first kos. You drank it already. According to the Rambam, you've been yotze drinking the first kos without a seba. But the second kos you should drink again, and do that with a seva during the Suda. Noah?
In terms of Marv, you don't have a Marv before it gets dark in the week. But if you don't have a Marv, you have to wait till it gets dark for Marv also.
That's a good question. You're saying, why can't you be Yotze Marv during a time of Tosefis? You probably could. I mean, many shuls like to wait to daven Marv until after Tzeitzak HaKohanim, until very close to Tzeitzak HaKohanim, because they want people to start the Seder early. But you don't have to necessarily start the Marv after Tzeitzak HaKohanim, as long as you repeat the Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema is a daraisa, that really you should wait till after Tzeitzak HaKohanim. So if you repeat Kriya Shema later, so then you could start a little bit earlier, so that mamish at Tzeitzak HaKohanim you can start the Seder. Yeah, that's a good Eitzah, actually, to make sure that you don't start too late. Will? Question? Okay, yeah.
What is it? Maybe because it's a little shimur, but then I cannot recite all Kriya Shema Alamita.
That's Kriya Shema Alamita, but Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, Kriya Shema Daraisa, that's not a minute. That's a mitzvah Daraisa. Even on the Seder night is a mitzvah, so you'd have to repeat the Kriya Shema to be Otsi, a mitzvah Daraisa of Kriya Shema. I think so. Yeah, Daniel.
If you're using one of those like light wines that doesn't have a lot of alcohol content, can you still mix it? Grape juice into it, or no?
Doesn't have an alcohol content. That doesn't mean that it's been mixed with more sugar. Is that what it means? I don't think so. I think it just means it hasn't fermented as much. I think so. I mean, look into that to make sure. But I believe, I believe that's what it means. So I think you can mix it. You can mix it with the grape juice. Yes?
Can Rebbe demonstrate the proper way to do a seba?
The proper way to do a seba. Wow, demonstration. So truthfully, the proper way to do a seba is not just to sort of like lean back. That's not really the way. Most people just do that. They lean back. The best thing is that if you have some kind of armchair, so to lean on the arm, that's the best. If you have a table, right? To lean on the table, that's called Haseba. You're leaning on your left side. Now, if you don't have an armchair, you can turn your chair sideways. You can lean on your chair. You can lean on the table, right? But not just leaning back. It's like, what is that? That's not really a Haseba. Truthfully. Okay? Wow. I've never done that before. There's always a first. Okay. Urchatz. Oh, so we finally got to the second siman, right? After half an hour. Okay. So it's Mitz Hashem, you know, it'll move a little bit more. You have to get the basics of dalakosis and Haseba, and then we can get moving. Okay, so we know that Urchatz, we wash our hands before the karpas. We're washing for davisha tibulo b'mashke. What in the world does that mean? Davisha tibulo b'mashke. So we know that if a person is tameh, let's say a person touches an aveli, touches a sheretz. A sheretz is an avatuma, so the person becomes a rishon l'tuma. He's lowered by a level. The avatuma makes a rishon. Now, if the person touches ochlim or mashkem, he touches food or drink, then the ochlim and the mashkem become a sheni l'tuma. They're also tameh, but it's a lower level of tuma. Truma and Kachim have the extra chumah that they can become a shlishi. If the sheni touches something else, then like if the Michael touches another mashke, so it can make it into a shlishi. If the Michael touches another Michael, it'll make it into a shlishi. In Chulin, we don't have a shlishi l'tuma; it stops at sheni. Now Chazal goes that yadayim ashnios l'tuma. Yadayim hands have a status of a sheni l'tuma. So if the hands will touch truma or kachim, they'll make the truma or kachim into a shlishi. So before you eat truma or kachim, you have to wash your hands. You have to wash your hands to be metaher the yodayim, so that they're not going to be metame the truma or the kachim. That's why we wash for bread. Right, we wash for bread, even though we don't have truma or kachim. The washing for bread is a gzeira atu truma or kachim. We hope the Beis Hamikdash is going to be rebuilt, and kohanim are going to eat truma and kachim. And if someone is a Levi, so he's not going to eat the truma, but he might eat kachim, but it's really a gzeira atu truma, that a Kohen is going to eat truma, and if he doesn't wash his hands, then he can be matame the truma. So everyone, all of Klal Yisrael, has done this for generations, right? We wash our hands before eating bread, bread is the staple. So it's a gzeira atu truma, that the yadayim ashnios, we don't want the yadayim to be matame the truma. So now, there's another halacha, that yadayim might be shnios l'tuma, but if the yadayim, if a sheni touches a mashke, so Chazal instituted that it makes the mashke into a rishon. Actually, it goes backwards. The mashke doesn't become a shlishi; it actually becomes a rishon. So if you have a davisha tibula b'mashke, if you have, let's say, a vegetable that's dipped into a liquid, so if the yadayim are shnios and you're not going to wash the hands. So then there's a chashash that if your hands are tummy, your hands are considered shnias l'tumah, so the yadayim are going to make the liquid into a rishon, and then they'll be metame, the ochel, make the ochel into a sheni. If the yadayim wouldn't make the liquid into a rishon, then it wouldn't be a problem. The yadayim would make the liquid into a sheni, and the sheni is not going to make a shlishi in chulin. So the problem of davishet yibul b'mashke is that if the yadayim are going to make the liquid into a rishon, so then the rishon will make the vegetable that you're dipping into the liquid, it will make it into a sheni. It'll be metame that vegetable. So a person has to wash their hands for davisha tibula b'mashke. Okay, so at the Seder and the Seder night, we wash our hands before the karpas. We're dipping the karpas into salt water, so therefore we wash our hands. Frek the Taz, man ishtana halayla zem, nikol halaylos. Taz asked the fifth kasha. He said, besides the four kashas that we asked, but I don't understand, we don't dip for davar shetibula, but we don't wash for davar shetibula b'mashke a whole year, so if we're separate on the Seder night, we should wash for davar shetibula b'mashke. Man ishtana, well, why isn't that of the Seder different? So the simple answer that Poskim give is that it's a heker for the tinokos. It's another one of those things that we do throughout the Seder, to be different, so that the children ask, hey, you know, Dad, well, what are we doing here? I like the washing. I like to bring, you know, tilas yadayim. I like to bring the cup to my father with the, you know, with the towel, you know, and everything. They spill half of it on the floor. You know how it goes at the start, right? So, you know, it's very exciting, but like the kid, you know, kids don't ask because they're primed in the schools. But it's something that enables the children to ask, to get them excited about the Seder. The whole idea of getting the children to ask is that they ask questions and the parents say, hey, that's a great question, but you know what happened? Etc., etc. It gets them excited. When you ask questions, if a Rebbe asks questions, if Talmidim asks questions, and we get excited in the Shir, and we're thinking about, you know, what's the answer to the question, and back and forth, it gets everyone excited, right? And we know that. So it's the same thing. That's what Tzipiyut Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. The Netziv in his Agoda Imre Shefer, the Rebbe used to say that was his favorite Hagoda, the Hagoda of the Netziv. It's very, very beautiful. He has some very beautiful inyana, both in Halacha and in Machshava. I strongly recommend it. Excellent Haggadah. Just like many of the other Haggadahs. But the Netziv has a very fundamental word over here. He says the reason why we wash V'davash HaTibul V'mashka at the Seder is because we do Zeichel HaMikdash at the Seder. So many things that are Zeichel HaMikdash. We know the Korech is Zeichel HaMikdash. But there are many other things that are Zeichel HaMikdash. This is another example. We are mimicking the Ochle Korban Pesach. Ochle Korban Pesach had to wash their hands because they didn't want to be metame the Korban Pesach, right? So we're mimicking the Ochlei Kodshim, the Ochlei Korban Pesach. That's what the Seder night is all about. So Nishtana Halayla Zemi Kol Alelos Taka. The answer to the Taz's Kasha is this night is different. We're doing Zechel HaMikdash, so that's why we wash for Davish Tibul of Mashke. Very, very, very beautiful idea. There is a discussion in the poskim, who Taka has to wash? Is it only the Balabais? Is it everyone? I think the minig is that everyone washes. What is Karpas? So Karpas, Gemara doesn't have the Loshen of Karpas. Gemara in Daf Kuf Yudalad Amabeis and Psochim says, Karpas comes for Heker, Kadesh Yishalu Hatinokos. We take a vegetable and we dip it. It's actually machlokas or rishon, and what we dip it into, the minig is to dip it into salt water. Dip it into salt water. And it's a hecker for the tinokos. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tofai and Gimel says you're really supposed to eat less than a kezias of karpas, less than a kezias of the vegetable. What type of vegetable do we eat? So some are very careful to take a green vegetable, to take celery or something like that. The minig Yisrael is to take a potato. Some say that was only because in Europe they didn't have any other vegetables. They were very poor. They only had potatoes. Many claim it's better not to take the potato. But if that's the minig in your family, I see no problem with taking the potato. But some say it's better to take a green vegetable, to take a raw green vegetable like celery. I think it's more important to do the minig in your family. The Shulchan Aruch says one should eat less than a kezias of karpas. Why? Now this is based on a machlokas harishonim. Even though the Gemara says that karpas is a hekel tinokos, but the Rashbam says that you can solve another problem with the karpas. That the bracha rishon on the karpas can potter the maror. The bracha rishon of the maror. See, the maror, the problem with the maror is that it's eaten after hamotzi, so it's like it's masquerading as part of the meal, but it's not really part of the meal. It's like extraneous to the meal. So the question is maror considered dvar mabay machmas hasuda? Is it not machmas hasuda? Should make a separate bracha rishon on the maror? No, it's a shayla. So Zakhtar Rashbam, well, you've solved the whole problem. Make a hadama on the karpas. The hadama will pata the maror, and then you don't have a shayla whether you need a bracha rishon on the maror. That's what the Rashbam says. Tosa says that doesn't make any sense because your bracha rishon on the karpas won't pata the maror anyway because there's a hefsik. What's the hefsik? Haggadah. Right? The haggadah is going to take 2 hours. Maggid takes 2 hours, right? At least. No? It should take a long time. I'm not sure how long, but it should take. One should be sensitive to the family, obviously. Don't overdo it. But you can say Divrei Torah during the Suda also. But it should take a significant amount of time. Not 5 minutes, not 15 minutes. We're not davening it up, hopefully. So if there's a hefsek, Zogin Taisvis, you're not going to be able to pat the bracha on the maror with the karpas because there's too much of a hefsek. It only comes for hekka. Karpas only comes for hekka. So it says the Shulchan Aruch, don't eat a kezias of karpas. Because if you eat a kezayis of karpas, according to Tosfos, since Haggadah is a hefsek, you'll have to make a bracha achrona. Because the birchas hamazon is not going to cover it. It's a hefsek. According to Rashbam, don't make a bracha achrona. You want the bar pri adama and the karpas to part of the mara. Don't make a bracha achrona. But according to Tosfos, you have to make a bracha achrona because the Haggadah is a hefsek. So better to eat less than a kezayis of karpas. Eat less than a kezayis of karpas. So according to Rashbam, you'll part of the mara with the bracha rishona. According to Tosfos, you can't part of the mara, but at least there's no chiyuv to make a bracha achrona. So that's the minig. The minig is to eat less than a kezayis of karpas. This is one of these minhagim that, you know, some people are not so happy with because they're so hungry. They'd love to eat, you know, like a few potatoes, but we're just eating like a morsel, like a little, but making sure that it's less than a kezayis. It's like the dover kosher sheba mikdash. That's like the hardest minig of the seder that you have to wait. And you have to say the Torah, and you have to. And you're excited to say Divrei Torah, but you have to be a little bit hungry. Look, we've waited already for a month. We haven't eaten matzah. You know, we haven't eaten matzah for a few weeks. Some don't eat it since Purim, or at least Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So wait a few more moments before you eat the matzah. It's nish geferlet. You'll get there. You'll get there. Okay. Yes, question. No. You can't make a bracha on the first coast. Because then it's not Kiddush Malchum Suda. But we're assuming, even though Haggadah, what you're asking though is a great question. So according to Tosfos, if Haggadah is a hefsik between the karpas and the mara, so it should be a hefsik in my Kiddush Malchum Suda. Not for now, but it's a great kash. The Pasha Pshat is that you have to say the Haggadah. That's a chelik of the Suda. It's a chelik of the Suda, but, you know, karpas is really extra. It's not the Haggadah. Right? Karpas is extra. The Magid is mamash a chelik of the Suda. Lechem Oni, we're going to talk about that in just a moment. Lechem Oni, Lechem Sha'onim Alav Dvarim Harbe. You have to talk about the Magid over the Matzah. So that's like a chelik of the Suda. So maybe that's not a hefsek in Kiddush Makam Suda. It's Ma'aswam Shan Aizen Akash. It's a great Gavaldic Akash. Let's go weiter, okay? I want to have time for a few more items. So I'll take a few questions, but let's try to cover a little bit more ground. Let's move on to Yachetz now. So why do we do Yachetz? So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Kolbo that the minig is to split the matzah. We split the middle matzah because we're about to say Holach Ma'anya. Holach ma'anya diachalu avasana b'arad mitzrayim. Lach ma'anya madako shaloni b'frusa. Afkan b'frusa. We're going to talk about the proofs of the matzah. That's why we split the matzah. Someone to suggest, I think the Maral says that maybe it's even deeper than that. You know, the Gemara Pesachim says lechem oni is lechem sha'onim alav dvarim harbe. They're actually a different drushes in the Gemara. Some say lechem oni means madako shaloni b'frusa. Afkan b'frusa. Lechem oni is written oni without the vav. So lechem oni, madaka sha'oni b'fusa, kam b'fusa. But it's also pronounced lechem oni, lechem sha'onim alav dvarim harbe. What does that mean? So Rashi in Pesachim says, sha'onim alav dvarim harbe means shagomim alav is a halal, v'omrim alav haggadah. That we say halal and haggadah over the matzah. Interesting. Rashi says, gomim alav is a halal. Gomim alav. Others the Meiri says that we say tchilas ha'halal over the matzah. But it could be, based on this Rashi, that the reason why we break the matzah before we start Magid is because we want to be Makayim, both Perushim, both Droshes in Lechem Oni. And Lechem Oni means Lechem Sha'onim Alav Dvarim, that we say the Haggadah in front of the matzah. But secondly, Madaka Shalani Befrusa, so we bedafka want to say the Haggadah, the whole Magid. We want to say the whole Magid over a broken piece of matzah to be Makayim, the mitzvah, the inyan of Lechem Oni Bishleimusa. Of course, to be Mekayim, the concept of Lechem Oni, we have to be Megala the Matzahs. We keep the Matzahs uncovered throughout Magid, except for the times that we pick up the coast. V'hisha Amda, V'fikach, right? When we pick up the coast, we cover the Matzah, Kadesh Lo Yira HaPas Boshto, just like when, you know, when we make Kiddush, we cover the Chalas. So we always cover the Matzah when we pick up the coast, but aside from those times, you really should uncover the Matzah. Sometimes you forget, you pick up the coast for the Hishamda, everyone is singing, and it's very nice. You sing this version of the Hishamda, and you sing the more modern the Hishamda, and all the different artists. And it's a beautiful song, it's very nice. But then they forget to uncover the matzahs afterwards. So I'm not saying that you have to repeat the Maggid if you didn't uncover the matzahs, but according to Rashi, there's certainly a Kiyam. The more of the Maggid that you have the matzahs uncovered for, that's a Kiyam. And Lechem Oni, Lechem She'onim, Alav Devarim Harbi. So Maggid, of course, is the centerpiece of the Seder. So many Divrei Torah. Mitzvah Shem will talk a little bit on Sunday. The Rishonim talk about why there's no Berachas HaMitzvah on Sibir Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not for now. There's a lot of a discussion. So what's the key? What's the key to Maggid? What's Ma'akid in the Maggid? So we know Rabbi Gamliel Hoya Omer. Kol Shel Omer Shlosh Dvar Me'elah BaPesach Lo Yotzei Yidei Chavosam. If you didn't mention three things, you're not Yotzei. Pesach, Matzah, Mar. So the question is, what are you not Yotzei? To some Rishonim got to say, you're not Yotzei Pesach Matzah Mar. That there's an inyan, not just to eat the matzah, but to talk about the matzah, to explain why you're eating the matzah. The Rambam learns that Lo Yotzei Yidei Chavosam means you're not Yotzei Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. Very different approaches, right? The Rambam says that's the bare bones Maggid. You have to say Pesach Matzah Mar. That's the ikar of the Maggid. That's the ikar of the Maggid. The Ran says it's not that you weren't Yotzei at all. You weren't Yotzei b'shlei Musa. Right? You're still Yotzei if you spoke about Yetzias Mitzrayim. You're still Yotzei, but you're not Yotzei the mitzvah b'shlei Musa. That certainly is the ikar of the mitzvah. The Rishonim talk about, there's a machlokas Rishonim whether women are obligated in Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Many hold that they are obligated. The Shulchan Aruch paskens that they are obligated. There are different reasons given. Some say that we find many linkages between matzah and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And women, we know, are obligated in the mitzvah of matzah. Even though it's Zman Grama, they're obligated in matzah. The chayev in chomet, they're muzer in chomet, so the chayev in matzah. Right? So, since Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is so linked to matzah, right? Bavurza, lo amarte, levashar, sheish matzah, mar, munochim, lefanecha. Sipur is a function of matzah. You can only do Sipur in a Zman of matzah. So, if we see these linkages, and noshim achayavos in matzah, so the chayiv and sipur yetzias mitzrayim as well. So we have to be careful that the women say at least Rabbi Gamliel Hayomer, they have to say Pesach Matzah Mar. If not, they're not going to be yotzei sipur yetzias mitzrayim. They should say the Hallel too afterwards. That at least that section of the Haggadah, that section of the Maggid, the women should say, so that their second kos of the Dalat Kosos will be on the Maggid, and that they'll be yotzei the mitzvah sipur yetzias mitzrayim, at least the minimal part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. They really should say the whole Maggid. It's not so difficult. They can do whatever they have to do. Look, the men should be helping the women also. It's not the obligation of the women to take care of the children. The men should be exciting enough with the Divrei Torah, engaging all the children in Divrei Torah, that the children don't have a halamina to run away. I know what they're running away for. After they say the Manishtana, they steal the Afikoman, and I've been there already. I've been there, done that. But the children should be brought back to the Seder. Bring them back. Okay, so they've stolen the Afikoman. They've hidden the Afikoman. Bring them back to the Seder and involve them in the process. Tell them Divrei Torah. Ask them for Divrei Torah. Have the children involved in the process. Both the men and the women should be at the table sharing Divrei Torah and learning about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim and learning about the Seder. We know at different parts of the Maggid we spill out wine from the coasts. Right, b'damaya chayi, b'damaya chayi. It's a remez for Dam Pesach and Dam Mila. And then for the Eser Makas, for the Tzach Hadash Ba'achav. The Rama writes that for Dam Ve'esh V'simros Oshon, also we throw out Dam Ve'esh V'simros Oshon, three times we throw out a little bit of wine. He says you should throw it out be'etzpa, with your etzpa, with the pointer finger. Right, as a zecha to etzba Elokim hi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the makas for the Eser Makas too. Etzba Elokim hi, so you should throw it out with the etzba. For someone who feels too squeamish, if they put their fingers into the finger should be clean. But if you put your finger into the kos, they're not going to want to drink the kos of yayin. So then, just pour off a little bit. You can pour off a little bit, but it's better to do it with the etzba. That's a zecha to etzba Elokim hi. The post can point out that when you throw off a little bit of the wine, so now the kos is not moly, you really should fill it up. Before Rabbi Gamliel Hoya Omer, you really should fill up the kos again to make sure that it's a full kos. So we say Pesach Matzah Mara, Pesach Zeh Shanu Ochim, Matzah Zu Shanu Ochim, Mara Zeh. So when you say Matzah Zu and Mara, you really should pick them up. should point to the matzah and the marah. But by Pesach we don't point, because then there's a chashash that you're makdish nira ke makdish kachim b'chutz. It looks like you're being makdish the kachim b'chutz. You should look at it. Look at the zera. Look at the shankah. But you shouldn't actually point to it. If the magid we have rochtza, we wash our hands again. Here we wash our hands with the brochets before hamotzi, before eating the matzah. Technically, me'ikir adin, you washed already before the karpas. You shouldn't have to wash again. What's the purpose of washing again? So the Gemara itself was troubled with this. Gemara says that since you're mesiach das, you might have a hesach das during the magid. Takes a long time, so you might not necessarily have concentrated. And maybe you touched one of the mekolos hamechusin. Right, you scratched a little bit behind your neck or whatever, so then there's going to be a chiyuv to wash again. So that's why we wash again, and we make a bracha on that wash. Motzi matzah. There's a machlokas of rishonim. How many matzahs do we have on the seder night? Right, how many matzahs do we have? So we all know three, right? Kohen Levi Yisrael, Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. These are very nice ideas. But the real reason that we have three is that you need lechem mishnah. Right, we need lechem mishnah. We're going to break the middle matzah. In the mitzvah l'achilas matzah, we're makayim with the middle matzah. But you still need lechem mishnah. You need two whole matzahs. So we have the third matzah to be mashlim lechem mishnah, so that you'll have two shlemas for the hamotzi. That's the real. That's the halachic reason why we have three matzahs. The Rambam did not have three matzahs. The kids in the Rambam's family when they went to yeshiva, so they didn't teach them that you need three matzahs. The Rambam only had two matzahs, and he broke the second matzah. He actually did not do yachatz before magid. He broke the second matzah right before motzi matzah. That's how the Rambam writes in Hilchos Chametz Matzah. The Rambam had 1.5 matzahs at the time of motzi matzah. Why? Because the Rambam was of the opinion that lechem mishnah on the Seder night is redefined. That the concept of lechem only redefines the din of lechem mishnah. That you're not supposed to have shleimus on the Seder night. You're supposed to have a matzah prusa. You're supposed to have a broken matzah, because that's what the lechem of the Seder night is all about. So the Rambam only had 1.5 matzahs. And that's how the Gra Paskin, the Vilna Gaon, also only had 2 matzahs, 1.5 matzahs. That's what he had. The Rav Rishonim disagree. As we mentioned, that we have 3 matzahs. So what do we do? So for Hamotzi, we pick up all 3 matzahs, because really we're making Hamotzi on the top and the bottom, on the 2 shleimas. Then after Hamotzi, we make a bracha l'achilas matzah, the brichas ha-mitzvah. Before that bracha, we drop the bottom, we put down, don't drop it, we put down the bottom matzah. Right? Because really, the bracha l'achilas matzah is on the second matzah, on the broken one. And then we break off from both the top matzah, just like every other yomtiv. You make a hamotzi on lecha mishnah, and then you break the top bread, right? You put the bread that you're going to be botseya from on top. It's the same thing over here. You botseya from the top matzah, and you take a little bit from the middle for the mitzvah of matzah. You're never going to have enough if you have a lot of people, so then you're mashlim. You take more matzahs to be mashlim for the kezayis. But everyone should get a piece of the top matzah and a piece of the middle matzah for motzi matzah. The bracha l'achilas matzah is a brichas ha-mitzvah, and that goes not only on the matzah, but also on korech. Right? There's a suffix. Maybe you're yotze the mitzvah matzah only together with the maror. So and the afikoman also. It should go on the afikoman also. So really, one shouldn't be mafsik until after eating the korech. One shouldn't be mafsik until after eating afikoman too. But that's too difficult for people. But they're not going to talk to each other during the suda. So that far, we're not going to be machmer. But at least until the korech, one should not be mafsik. One shouldn't be mafsik with any extraneous conversation, so that the bracha l'achilas matzah can go on the korech. L'chatchila, one is supposed to take 2 kizesim for motzi matzah. One from the shlema, one from the prusa. Or stam, if you can't get enough because you have to divide with other people, one should have 2 kizesim. What's the idea of 2 kizesim? Mishnah Berurah asks, what, you need 1 kizayis from the motzi, 1 kizayis from the matzah? Why can't you just take 1 kizayis? You'll be yotze both. You'll be yotze the mitzvah of betzias hapas, the mitzvah of sudas yomtif. Right, you'll be also the mitzvah matzah with the same kezayis. Rav Shechter, in one of his svarim, he has a long piece where he wants to explain that maybe the idea is that since these are 2 mitzvahs, the mitzvah of achilas matzah and the mitzvah of sudas yomtiv are 2 mitzvahs, and we know there's a din that ain't also mitzvahs chavilas, so maybe it's appropriate not to be yotze with the same chefza. That would seem like we want to get rid of the mitzvah. Right? We don't want to too difficult to have a separate kazayas for each mitzvah. That's the design of the mitzvah. So we don't do that. We have a separate kazayas, one for the mitzvah of Sudas Yomtov, for the Hamotzi, and the other for the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Ayin Hei talks about whether we put salt on the matzah by Motzi Matzah. Shulchan Aruch says that you should put salt on it. There are masses that you don't. You don't put salt on the matzah. The Shulchan Aruch is quoting a Yerushalmi. The Ramah says that's talking about if you have pasha in onoki, you have like a whole wheat and so a matzah that's not so pure, that's not so tasty. So then we add salt for the bracha. But if you know our matzahs, I hope our matzahs are tasty. They certainly cost a lot of money. So you know if you have a nice matzah, the Ramah would say that you don't put salt on the matzah. But why is that the case? The Ramah Nuchas Betzias Apas says that even for pasha in onoki, you do put salt on. Pasuk says, "I'll call karban chatakiv melach." It's an idea that the shulchan is domel mizbeach, so you're supposed to have salt whenever you make a bracha of hamotzi. You're supposed to salt the bread. So why does the Ramah say on the Leil HaSeder that we don't put salt on? So some explain the Mishnah Berurah calls some achronim who say that maybe that's a kiyum of lechem oni, that we want the matzah to be more lechem oni. So if you don't put salt to make it tastier, it's more of a lechem oni. It's a kiyum in the din of lechem oni. Yes.
If the person making a bracha is not going to have a tradition, or is going to have a more makel shirt,
okay.
Should he make
it? No, he can make a hamotzi for you. It's shomer ka'ona, as long as he's eating, so his bracha applies to you also. So, first of all, our shiur of kezayas might be a little bit more chama. You know, you can buy in the Judaica stores, you buy like the colored rectangular piece of paper or whatever laminated paper that shows you exactly what the kezayas is. So it could be it's a little bit bigger than what the kezayas has to be. So if he takes a little bit less, it could be that he's yotzi just fine. Right? So, but even if he's not yotzi, as long as he's eating matzah, he made a bracha of hamotzi, he's eating matzah, so he can be motzi you in the bracha. Then you can have a shir, you can have a little bit more than him. Yeah.
Why am I making a plus matzah only on the top two?
The bottom one is for the korek. We use it for the korek.
But let's say if I don't have enough, so then wouldn't I have to make the achilas matzah on whatever I'm going to get out?
It goes on every, yeah. The achilas matzah goes on the middle matzah plus whatever else here.
If I need more, so I would have to take a different matzah.
Take a different matzah, yeah. It's kedai to keep
a stack of
matzahs next to you. That's what I do, yeah. The truth is, in our family, what we've done the last few years is that we've actually separated the matzah, the shear of the matzah, before Yom Tov. We put it like in plastic bags. It makes it much faster. Then you can have a longer maggid. That's really the best idea. Now we should have a longer maggid, and it's time. And I'm looking at the watch the whole time. I let everyone talk, no problem. But I have my left eye always on the watch. I have to make sure. We know about how much time it takes to do things benachas. You don't want people to wolf down the matzah. It's a mitzvah, the raisa. You can't wolf down the matzah. And you have to leave enough time that you can have a suda for a guest. Baruch Hashem, make sure is they can have a suda and have conversation. They shouldn't feel that it's rushed. That's also a chelek of Simchas Yom Tov is also a mitzvah daraisa. Yeah, you have to make sure that everyone should be happy. The kids who want to say Divrei Torah should be happy. Others who want to have a little bit of a conversation during the suda have to be happy. You have to make everyone happy. And that's Simchas Yom Tov. That's really the best way to do it. So if you can do it before Yom Tov, it's even better. It's even better. Then you separate everything. You have your two kazesim. No one has any shilas. You know exactly how much you have to eat. The biggest problem with doing that is that you always overshoot. Because if you try to get to the shear of a kazais, and then you want to add from the matzah, so you really don't have to add very much at all. Right? You really have to add some, very little. So sometimes you'll add too much, and then they're eating whatever. It makes the shear actually bigger than it should be. So we try to estimate the best we can. To expedite matters a little bit on the night of the Seder. Yes?
Oh, you mentioned that you're checking the clock. Is there any...
Checking the clock for Chatzos also.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to get the Chatzos.
That's what you were talking about.
No, I'm talking about... Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
So
that's what you're saying, yes.
I heard something
about
like the Avnei
Nezer,
you do something like...
The Avnei Nezer, who's up to the Avnei Nezer? Okay, we first have to get to Motzi, Mas, and Korach. We'll get to the Avnei Nezer. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
What's the benefit of dealing matzah in advance if you have to get them from the actual matzah?
No, because very quick. To break it up from the matzah, I can make, you know, 7, 8, 9 pieces from the matzah, no problem.
Don't you have to do it from the matzah that you broke at the Seder?
Sure. Sure, but the extra, I give them a little piece from the top matzah, a little piece from the middle matzah, and everyone has their plastic bags before I even start. So it's all arranged. They have the matzah, they have the mara, everything is there, and then I just give them the little pieces, and you know, it's like we're not making comparisons over here, but right. But yeah, we just you know, throw it around. We don't throw it around. We pass it around, and everyone is happy. Baruch Hashem. Okay, moving right along. Moror. So the Gemara, the Mishnayos and the Mishnah in Pesachim lists off five different types of moror. We use either horseradish or romaine lettuce. I think romaine lettuce is probably even more popular. The shaila if horseradish really is tamcha, but okay, let's assume that it is tamcha. So many use romaine lettuce. Some ask a shaila, romaine lettuce is not even bitter, so how can it be called mara? So there are those that say that actually it's the best type of mara, because the Gemara says that the Shibud in Mitzrayim was masov betchila, and it was mar lebesof. It was very pleasant in the beginning. That's what Paro did. He made it seem very pleasant. The mitzvim also worked, and then gradually they pulled away. And so it was masok in the beginning, and then it turned mar at the end, it turned bitter at the end. So the romaine lettuce, if you leave it in the ground, it turns very bitter. So some say it's the perfect type of mara because it symbolizes the idea of the shibud in Mitzrayim. The Chazon Ish felt that you really have to leave, you use romaine lettuce, you have to leave it in the ground until it becomes bitter. Mamash has to be bitter, it has to have a time of mara. But most are not machmir for that. Most assume that even if the romaine lettuce tastes good, it's okay. If you have horseradish, if that's Dominican in your family, so you should be careful to have a share of a kezias. Kezias is like, I think, 1.1 fluid ounces of mora. Like if you take a shot glass, so depending on how big the shot glass is, some shot glasses are like an ounce, others are more than that. So just make sure you know how big it is. You don't have to, you don't have to take more than 1.1 fluid ounces. But some take even less than that, because 1.1 fluid ounces of horseradish, you know, grated horseradish, that could be quite sharp, quite bitter. Some actually have a minute. Some chassidim have a minute to take less. What's that based on? Not having a shir kezayis? How can that be? It's not an achila smar. Some say no, because the derech achila of horseradish is much less than a kezayis. No one eats a kezayis of horseradish. So even if you take less than that, that's the derech achila. So maybe the shir is less than a kezayis. It's a shaila, not for now, but it's a big shaila. We talked about this in the context of making kiddush on schnapps. Also the same shaila comes up. It's better to take a kezayis. It's better to take 1.1 fluid ounces of horseradish. It's difficult, but okay. It's a challenge, but that's the mitzvah. And if you're going to use the horseradish, then you should do it in the proper way. We know, of course, we dip the mara into charoses. It's a machlokas tanoim, whether that's a mitzvah. Mitzvah, zecher l'tapuach, zecher l'tiv, zecher l'dam, zecher the different things in Mitzrayim, or it's not a mitzvah, it's just to protect you from the bitterness of the maror, the romaine lettuce, it's hard to understand, there's no bitterness there really, or to protect you from the tolas, from the worm, there are different reasons given for the charosas. We dip the maror into charosas. Yeah. The maror is dipped into the charosas. The korech is a shaila, machlokas, the machaber, and the ramah. Not so simple. Not for now. Whatever your minig is, you should do. Many have the minig to dip even the korech, even the mora of the korech into charoses. If that's your minig, then you should do that. Korech. What do we do for korech? So we dip, we take the mora, and we make a sandwich out of the mora and the matzah. The Shulchan Aruch says that we say zechel amikdash kehilo. The Bir Halacha asks, how can we say zechel amikdash kehilo? Isn't that a hefzer? We said a bracha lachilas matzah, we made a bracha lachilas mora. And it could be the korech is the way to be yotzei matzah mara. So how can we say zechel amikdash kehilo? It's not going to be a hefzik between the birchas hamitzvah and the maisa mitzvah. So the Bir Halacha says lule de mistafin. If I weren't afraid to say, and I would say that the Shulchan Aruch really, that there was like an extra word added in the Shulchan Aruch. He really meant to say that you eat the korech zechel amikdash, not eat the korech ve'omer zechel amikdash. But eat the korech as a zechel amikdash kehilo. And I'd be mashmit, I take out the word va'omer from the Shulchan Aruch. L'maisa, many people do say zechel amikdash kehilo before eating the korech. So how isn't that a hefsek? So the answer probably is, since it's part of the inyan of korech, you're explaining why you're eating the korech, it's not viewed as a hefsek. It's not like talking about, you know, just something, like, you know, talking about, I don't know, stam thing, stam words, talking about what your cholamoy trip is going to be. You know, why, before you're, before, you know, between the bracha and the korech. Not stam dvarim ba'almi. Sichas chulin ba'almi. The inyan akorich is not considered a hefsek. The Mishnah Berurah himself says he thinks it's better if you want to say zeich l'migdash kehillah, say it after eating the korich. Then it's definitely not a hefsek. It's mitzurav to the achilas akorich. You're explaining what you just did. Then it wouldn't be a hefsek between the bracha and the eating of the korich. So some do that. Some are makbet to say zeich l'migdash kehillah afterwards. Sometimes people who are makbet to say zeich l'migdash kehillah, they forget to say it. So they eat the korich, then they start to help. They start cleaning up. Then they hear someone else saying zeich l'migdash kehillah, and they say, they run back. But sometimes they're mafsik beforehand. So that's the trick. If you're going to say zeich l'migdash kehillah, make sure that you say it before you stand up. So that at least that'll be mitzurif to your eating of the korich. Yes?
The whole chashash is that the paragraph of zeich l'migdash should be a hafsik between korich and
Mazda. No, between the Birchas HaMitzvah, the Alachilas Matzah, the Alachilas Mar, and the eating of the Korach.
So why is the Alachilas Mar not a Hefsek for the Mazda?
Because it's a Tzorech. Meaning, you're not gonna eat the Korach for Matzah before you make a Bracha on the Mar. The Korach has Mar in it too. So you have to make a Bracha Alachilas Mar to eat the Mar. So that's not viewed as a Hefsek because it's a Tzorech for the whole process. Sorry for the process. Tovim.
Why would it be a hefsek if you already fulfilled your chiyuv with the matzah and mar themselves?
Well, because if you hold that you're supposed to fulfill it as a korech, as a b'kricha, as a machogas hillel mechachalim, how you're supposed to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. So we say zeich l'migdash kehillah, that means the hillel felt that you're supposed to fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, b'kricha. Shaila is what kind of a kricha? Matzah and mar, pesach matzah and mar. If you hold like those rishonim who assume pesach matzah and mar, it's obviously because you can't be yotze korech properly. But that's part of the shaila. That's part of the shaila. So we want to make sure the birchas hamitzvah goes on the korach, because it could be the korach is really the ikar way to fulfill the mitzvahs of matzah and mara. Yes?
Is Rabbi going to discuss the specific mar they use for korach? Like, that it's...
We use Romei Lev. Same as mara, yeah. Same.
Yeah. The minhag was to use
Romei Lev. Some people... I'm sorry?
And if one's minhag was to do Romei Lev for regular mara, and then...
Really? I've never heard of such a minhag. I thought people do the same thing. Some people throw a little bit of horseradish in with the romaine lettuce. Because they feel bad that the romaine lettuce is not really bitter. So they it's okay. It's totally fine to eat the romaine lettuce without the horseradish. But some people, they want to feel a little bit bitter. Or it's like a kunz. No, it's something. It's something to have the horseradish. I don't know. Whatever. So people who do that, so they do it both for the mar and for the korach. They throw a little bit of horseradish in the middle of their almond lettuce, and they have that both for the mar and for the korach. Yes?
Slightly related question, but like, let's say it's a scenario where, you know, you had a certain amount of romaine lettuce, you ate that, you're getting ready to rest for korach, and like you're like, okay, this is just not good lettuce, like, we can't eat this. If you have horseradish, is there any problem in switching, or...?
No. No, some say that horseradish is not tamcha. I think Rav Shechter said many years ago, he probably still says it in his Seder Shiur, but I think Professor Felix, there was a Professor Felix that wrote an article once, different articles, saying that maybe oats are not part of the chameshes mi'ei dagan, right? So you wouldn't make a mezonos on Cheerios. That was one. That's not something for Pesach, because you're not eating Cheerios anyway. But that was one thing Professor Felix said. And the other thing I think he said, based on research, is he didn't think that tamcha is horseradish. It's something else. So if it's something else, then you can't be yotze with horseradish. If you can't be, if you accept Professor Felix's thesis, so then it might be a problem adding horseradish to your romaine lettuce. You think you're making it mar, making it, you know, a better mitzvah mar. You might be putting a davishal reshus in with a davishal mitzvah. So that's the only question. Many people disagree, and they say that that's the minhag Yisrael. So we assume that it is tamcha. So if you assume that it is tamcha, so then there's no problem with switching. You can use romaine lettuce for one and use horseradish for the other. Certainly no problem to switch. Yes.
What should one do if the family's not so mar, but I'm not making a hefsek between matzah, mar, and korach?
You shouldn't criticize anyone else for speaking, but why do you have to speak? What, they're going to talk to you?
Yeah, but
so, if your mouth is... Tell me, if you're eating normally and your mouth is full, what, you should talk to you?
And what
you're
talking in between, like, between the matzah and mar.
Okay, I don't know what to tell you. Try not to talk. I mean, you can't talk. You can't talk. The Shulchan Aruch says you're not supposed to talk. So what am I supposed to tell you? You're not supposed to talk. So this is not so difficult for families to accept. We're talking about, you know, short conversation for about 20 seconds before you get the matzah. You know, the best thing would be maybe you can arrange that you have your parts, your matzah and your maror up front. So it doesn't take too much to get started with the next part of the Seder. Right? So, I mean, unless you're waiting for the leader of the Seder to make the bracha l'akilas maror, you can move on. You can move on to maror. Then you make sure, the moment the person asks you a question about, you know, what you're doing at Chol HaMoed, you start the next bracha. You start eating the maror. And then you... You get the point, right? Then you're not going to be able to be masa. Look, try to do what you can do. That's the best thing. It's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch. You really shouldn't be mafsik. You know, just like we're not mafsik in the middle of Tkia Shofar, you're not supposed to be mafsik in the middle of Achilles Matzah. So you really shouldn't be mafsik until the end of Korah. That's really the appropriate thing to do. Okay, Shulchan Aruch, the meal. So not much to talk about. I mean, there actually are different minhagim in Shulchan Aruch. The eggs and salt, what other things, we're not going to talk about the details here. But one thing to keep in mind is that one should not eat too much for Shulchan Aruch. Don't eat so much that your afikoman is going to be an achila gasa. If it's so full from the Shulchan Aruch, you have all of mom's delicacies, you know, all the different foods. The Seder night is not a time to have, you know, seven courses, because then you're not going to have any room. And to eat the afikoman achila gasa, that's a terrible thing. Some say it's the ikar mitzvah of matzah. So one should try not to eat too much at this Suda. Then we have Tzofen, we have the Afikoman. So the minig by the Afikoman is also to eat two kezeisim of matzah. One is a zecher to the Korban Pesach, and one is as a zecher to the matzah that was eaten with the Korban Pesach. Also two kezeisim. You'll see in those laminated sheets, they have a different shear for the korech as opposed to achilas matzah and Afikoman, because for the Afikoman, they're having two kezeisim. I have two kezeisim, but for the two kezeisim, they're more mekel. So it's not like a double shear. It's a funny type of thing. They're more mekel on the shear, but for the two kezeisim. But for the other one, they only have a single kezeis. Okay, so we have two kezeisim for the avikoman also. And the Shulchan Aruch says one should try to eat the avikoman before chatzos. We know Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva have a machlokas whether the Korban Pesach has to be eaten until chatzos or can be eaten until Amud HaShachar. Right, so we're machmir to assume Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is correct that the Pesach has to be eaten until Chatzos, and the matzah is iskash to the Korban Pesach. So the Afikoman, try to eat the Afikoman before Chatzos. The Emes says, the Ramah says that you should try to say Hallel before Chatzos as well. Most people are not machbir on this. They're assuming that everything, right, the matzah is iskash to the Korban Pesach, and all the mitzvahs halayla are iskash to the matzah. So Dalet Kosos has to have to be drunk before Chatzos. Hallel has to be said before Chatzos. It's very hard to do that. Most briskas are machmir to say the Hallel. I think Reb Chaim was machmir to finish the Seder. He used to have a very quick Seder, actually, because people would come to ask him Shilas. So he'd have a quick Seder, and then he'd be answering Shilas. But I think some briskas are machmir to finish the Seder, finish the Hallel before Chatzos. Most of Klal Yisrael is not. Most try to do the Afikoman before Chatzos, but they're not so makbid on the Hallel. So what happens if you're running out of time? There was so many Divrei Torah, so many beautiful Divrei Torah, the night of the Seder. So what do you do with the Afikoman? Let's say you can't push the Afikoman. It's just not going to happen. You're not sitting out by your own Suda. Right? You're not making your own Seder yet. You're by other people. And they're just not. You can't sneak an Afikoman, you know, in front of all the other people. It's just not going to happen. So the Avni Nezer has a famous Tanai. Right? This is Zach's Avni Nezer. Avni Nezer has a famous Tanai. He says, maybe what you should do is like this. Eat a piece of matzah. Eat a kezayis of matzah, or two kezayis of matzah, whatever. Eat two kezayis of matzah right before Chatzos. In the middle of Shulchan Aruch, in the middle of your meal. You're going to eat more of the meal later, but eat two kezayis of matzah now. Then wait until after Chatzos. And then you can continue your meal, and you'll eat another afikoman later. What's the advantage of doing that? So the advantage is that he's assuming that the halacha, that in maftir and achar pesach afikoman, the idea that we don't taste anything after the afikoman, that only applies during this month that you can eat the afikoman. So as long as you eat the afikoman before chatzos, then you'll be able to continue eating after chatzos. Because there's no problem with eating after the afikoman once the zman of the afikoman, once the zman of the Karban Pesach is finished. So the whole chumrah to eat the afikoman for chatzos is based on the fact that we think maybe the Pesach has to be eaten for chatzos. So there's no problem with continuing to eat as long as you wait until after chatzos. So then, manav shach, if you hold Rabbi Elazar ben Azai is right, that the afikoman has to be eaten before chatzos, and mafshinach haPesach afikoman only applies until chatzos. If you hold Rabbi Akiva is right, that you can eat the afikoman after chatzos, you'll eat the afikoman again. You'll eat that after chatzos, after you finish the seuda. That's what the Avnei Nezer wants to suggest. Many disagree with this tanai. Many disagree with the whole assumption, but the fact that you can't eat it after the afikoman, that's a function of the zman that's roy for the afikoman. Maybe once you eat the afikoman, then you can't eat anything at all. So if you hold like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, then you won't be able to continue the suda after chatzos. So maybe you didn't accomplish anything with the tanai. That's the tanai of the Avnei Nezer. I've heard some people actually use the tanai of the Avnei Nezer. I think it's better to try to finish the afikoman before chatzos. Can be done, even if you have a lot of Divrei Torah. I think that's the best thing to do. Okay. Birchas Hamazon and Halas. The Shulchan Aruch says that there's an inyan to be mahader achar zimun. Achar zimun, to have a zimun for the Seder. The Mishnah Berurah explains that he's not really talking about Birchas Hamazon per se. He's talking about the halal, that there's an inyan to say halal responsively, that one person should say Ha'od L'Hashem Kitov, and then two people should answer. So there's an inyan to have three people have to say this, so that one person should be able to say the parts of halal that we say responsively. He should lead, and two people should respond to him. There's an inyan to do that. You need to do that. People don't know. People just say the halal straight, but really you should say it responsively. That's a greater type of halal. It's a halal on a higher level. And finally, nirtza. Nirtza, the Rosh brings different reasons as to why we don't drink after the Dalai Kosos, just like we don't eat after the Afikoman. The Rishonim say we don't drink after the Dalai Kosos either. And some say it's because really a person is supposed to be learning, he's supposed to be osik in Hilchas HaPesach Kol HaLaila, and we're afraid if you keep on drinking, then you'll get drunk and you'll fall asleep. You'll fall asleep. You won't be able to continue learning after the Seder. Some say that we don't drink after the Dalai Kosos because it's Nira Kemosif HaLakosos. Some say that we don't drink after the Seder, after the Dalai Kosos, because we don't want to be mevatel the tam of the matzah. Right? We don't want to eat after the afikoman. You have to drink two kosos after the afikoman. It's part of the Seder. There's nothing to do. But why drink more? If you drink more, then you'll be mevatel the tam of the matzah more than you have to. What's an afkamina? Well, the question is, what can't you drink? People have this sense, like after the Seder, you can't drink anything. Nothing. Doesn't matter if you have a sore throat or anything. You can't drink anything. It's not really true. According to the first time that we're afraid that you'll fall asleep, you'll drink something intoxicating, you're afraid. So only midi de meshaker, something that might make you fall asleep, you can't drink. Right? According to the second time, nira kemosif alakosos, so maybe even something that's not intoxicating. If you can be yotze dalakosos with it, you shouldn't drink that. Maybe even grape juice. If you can be yotze dalakosos with grape juice, maybe you shouldn't drink that after the Seder either. If you take the third approach, that the idea is you shouldn't drink after the dalakosos because it'll be mevatel the time of the matzah, so maybe only a mashke that has a strong taste. It obviously includes more than just intoxicating beverages or grape juice, but only something that has a strong taste. Water you certainly can drink. There shouldn't be any problem with drinking water in the Seder. Even a light juice. If you water down apple juice, it probably doesn't have such a strong taste. Some of the unwatered, the concentrated apple juices might be stronger. If you water down apple juice, if you want to drink water after the Seder, you feel like you have to drink water, it's permissible, because none of the reasons would apply to water. Look, the ikar of the Seder is nirtza, that there should be a ritzui. The Seder is a zeicha l'migdash, zeicha to the Karban Pesach. Right? There's a ritzui. There's always a ritzui and a karban. We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be merutza with our karbanis. We want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be merutza with our Seder. So the key is to do everything in the right way. When we do things kedasu kedin, the way the halacha requires, so then we can hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be merutza with our Seder, and he'll be merutza with us as well. I just want to add a brief thought from the parasha. Maybe just end the tape on the halacha, and I'll add a brief thought from the parasha. I know it's